You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast. We are your hosts, Evie McLeod and Lindsay Roman. Now, this episode is going to be for our wedding photographers or any, honestly, wedding professionals and even any service-based businesses I think can get a lot out of this episode. But if you are feeling kind of the weight of the economy right now and you're just like, wow, my bookings are so down. I'm not getting booked. I'm not even anywhere near where I was or maybe just at all. Ever. And you're wondering, what do I do? I'm feeling stuck and I need help. Well, consider this your lifeline or your life raft.
Your cheat sheet.
And we are going to give you some help and actually kind of workshop with you what to do when your bookings are down in an economy like this one. So let's get started. This is Lindsay. I want to share a vulnerable moment with you. Years ago, before I launched my first preset pack, something that genuinely held me back from doing it for way too long was the technical backend of how to do it. Like, I know we all know that e-commerce is a brilliant way to grow and diversify our business, but you know, whether you're a photographer wanting to sell presets like me or a hormone health coach wanting to sell cookbooks, or honestly, literally anybody wanting to sell a physical or digital product online, knowing what platform to sell on is huge, right? So that's why when I started first selling my presets, I went with the obvious choice, Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And so whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify even helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And quick story, last fall, I had been wanting to incorporate a membership subscription into my business for women to sign up and be a part of my Insiders membership group. And I almost didn't do it purely because I didn't want to buy another program to process the subscription payments. And that's when I realized, wait. I use Shopify for my presets. Can they do subscriptions too? And what do you know? With Shopify's endless list of integrations and third-party apps, anything you can think of from chatbots to subscriptions, yes, they have everything you need to revolutionize your business. My subscription problems were solved with the brilliance that is Shopify. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/heart, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/heart now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/heart. Hey, I'm Lindsay Roman.
And I'm Evie McLeod, and we are family and legacy-focused serial entrepreneurs and the founders of The Heart University, a business education company with a mission to help you thrive in your business and life.
Welcome to our Entrepreneur Cocktail Hour, where business and marketing strategies meet faith, real talk, and raw and life-changing conversations.
At the end of the day, we are all in this together, figuring out how to navigate the ups and downs, the messy and the beautiful, and everything in between. This is a community where you can come as you are, get inspired, and walk away equipped to build a legacy-filled life.
You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast.
All right, I'm going to tell it to you straight right now. If you were watching this on video, Lindsay and I have notes.
We have notes because we're not playing around today.
Because let me just clarify. If you're watching this on video, we have three full pages, of notes.
Okay.
Because we want to absolutely serve today.
We want to blow your freaking mind off.
So if you notice us on video, audio, you guys won't notice a difference. But if you notice us on video looking down a bit more, straight up, honestly, because we absolutely slayed the outline, I think. And we are one to make sure we absolutely slayed the recording. Okay. Love you, friends. Moving on.
All right, Evie, take us home.
All right. So let's back up first and foremost. Before we dive into anything else, let's just all address the elephant in the room. The economy is not the best right now.
You don't say, Evie. I didn't know that.
I feel like that's a pretty known fact, but I just wanted to, make sure in case anyone was living under a rock. But people right now, what we've noticed in the industry is a lot of people are using, it's the economy as an excuse for why their bookings are down.
Which, to be fair, before she continues on and just really slays you in the heart, that's not to say that the economy couldn't be why your bookings are down.
Or like that is a factor.
That is a valid concern. Like it is genuinely harder in some ways to get bookings. Like people are protecting their money. Like there is a lot going on right now that there wasn't, a few years ago.
Yeah, we don't want to invalidate that and say that there's absolutely no reason that, your bookings or your business might be being hit a bit by the economy. Absolutely. But if you are in the wedding industry, people are still getting married. That face. I just need to zoom in on that face. People are still getting married and weddings are still happening in all ranges of budgets. So a couple facts for you. In 2024, the projected number of weddings is 2.2 million.
That's insane.
Number of weddings.
That's a lot of couples. So 4.4 individuals.
Yes.
I don't know why that
felt interesting to say. Okay. The average wedding budget in the U.S. is $33,000. Now, I want you to keep in mind, that is the average.
So a lot higher, a lot lower.
A lot higher and a lot lower. But that is also the average for the entire nation. That number varies significantly based on location, state, all of that. So in other words, it is not just the economy that could be hitting your business right now or be one of the reasons that your bookings are low right now. So we wanted to honestly come in and be like, yes, absolutely. The economy could and is a factor right now, could be and very possibly is a factor right now in your business.
But it's also not just the economy, or it might not be just the economy to the reason why you might not be getting booked right now. Mm-hmm. And so we got to stop using the economy as the scapegoat to why you're not getting booked and use this as an opportunity to actually kind of self-reflect and look at what you're doing, how you're marketing, and what you're communicating to potential leads. Because that in there lies the problem-solving like factor of how we can actually get you bookings.
Yes. Okay. So what we're going to do now is when Lindsay and I were kind of brainstorming and discussing this episode and this conversation, what we realized is that there's two kind of camps or two problems within the, you know, I mean, we're speaking a lot to wedding photographers, but to the service industry in general.
For why you might not be getting booked.
Yes. Or like what you may be experiencing, I guess we should say. Problem number one is that you are not reaching or marketing well to your ideal client. In other words, you are not getting inquiries. Mm-hmm. Like your inbox is dead. The other person who is listening to this episode is probably the person who you are getting inquiries, but they're not converting. They're not booking. People
are
coming.
So they know you exist.
Yes.
But something in your ecosystem is turning them away.
So we decided we were going to kind of format this episode by splitting the two most likely listeners to this conversation, the people who are needing and wanting this conversation, who are thinking the economy is absolutely killing me right now, and being like, okay, if you're in camp number one and you're the person, you're not getting inquiries, we're going to walk you through some troubleshooting and some strategy and some things that you can tackle. If you're in camp number two and you are getting inquiries, but they're not booking, we're going to go through some troubleshooting and some strategies there. So just before you fast forward, if you're the person who's like, I'm getting inquiries, let me just skip halfway through the
episode. Listen to the dang episode.
Let me tell you, you will get so much out of point number one and vice versa. People feeling point number one, not getting, you know, inquiries, you will get so much out of the second part of once you get the inquiries, how do you get them to book? Yep. So everyone who is feeling, you know, whatever with their bookings, listen to the whole episode. That's all I got to say. Okay.
All right. So let's dive into problem number one, which is you're not reaching or marketing well to your ideal client. So if you are in the camp of crickets in your inbox and you're just like, what do? I have no leads. I got nobody who knows who I am. Yeah. Then listen up. All right. If you're not getting any inquiries or you're rarely getting inquiries, like maybe once every blue moon, then that's an immediate front end issue to us. So in other words, you're not even getting the leads that you need. It's not even an issue of obviously convincing them to book you, which obviously we'll talk
about. And to say like that could easily be a problem as well, or an area
you could
of
be
growth.
Like not good on all these things.
Okay, savage. But
we're here to help. We're here to be your business doctors.
Yes. I think the point is the immediate problem for you, the most urgent one, is how can I get in front of my ideal customer?
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into that.
Yeah.
We're going to get started.
So here's what you need to focus on first. Okay. We're going to split this up, I think, into what?
Three.
Well, kind of, but there's like a whole, okay, whatever. Point number one. We want you to be consistently showing up. Now, what do we mean when we say consistently showing up? All of the marketing aspects in life that you have a platform on or are intentionally trying to. So usually like website, IG, Pinterest, blogging, any that, again, makes sense for your business because you don't have to do all of them. Obviously, make it make sense for your life and who you are and who your ideal client is. But are you showing up consistently and marketing well on those platforms?
And one thing I want to jump in here really quick is if you are trying to do it all, but you're not doing any of it because you're trying to do it all.
Because you're overwhelmed.
Or you're not doing it all well and all of it's kind of like half-assed or done very poorly. I want to tell you right now, pick one.
Yeah.
if you are struggling to show up, if you're like, I should be blogging, I should be working on my SEO, I should be doing Pinterest, I should be doing Instagram, I should be doing TikTok, I should be like, please, for the love of God, if that is keeping you from showing up consistently, that is your, need to be showing up on one consistently before you start tackling another.
Pick the one that makes the most sense for who your ideal client is. If your people are like word of mouth, Facebook hopping people, then tackle Facebook. Mm-hmm. Like genuinely, I know people think are like, that's dead. And it might be for more people, but if that works for you, then work, like do that. Yeah. If your people are on TikTok, focus on TikTok. If your people are on Instagram, focus on Instagram.
And I think there's an element too where somebody could sit there here and be like, okay, but they're on multiple platforms. Mm-hmm. Then I would say if they're on multiple platforms, which a lot of customers and clients are, I would say pick what feels most aligned to you, your strengths, your skills, what you can be most consistent with.
Because the name of the game is consistency. Like if you are sitting here with nothing in your inbox, you got to be popping out content and be consistent.
Because that's literally, how do you expect people to just show up out of the blue
and find you
to some random, you know, Instagram page that has two followers because you've never posted to it? And I think that's the reality. I mean, not to be like too harsh, but I can't tell you the number of entrepreneurs who have come to me over the years being like, I'm, how do I grow my business? How do I get bookings? How do I get clients? I have no inquiries. I have no interest. And I'm like, are you, you know, they're like, I'm on Instagram. And I'm like, are you posting? And they're like, no.
Or they'll like be doing stories, which doesn't actually go out to, that stories are for people that already follow you.
Right.
Or they'll be,
And there's an element that's like, okay, you have to be showing up because people buy from those that they know, like, and trust. How do they know you? That you get in front of them. How do they like you? You're staying in front of them.
Yeah.
How do they trust you? You're showing you're trustworthy.
And think through your, whoever your ideal client is, how are they finding the service that you provide? Mm-hmm. Are they going to Google and typing in St. Augustine wedding photographer? Are they going to Instagram and hashtagging St. Augustine wedding photographer? Or are they looking at venues first? Like think about all of the things that an ideal client of yours would do and put yourself in their situation. What would you do if you were them? How would you find you and get in front of those places?
Yeah. I think the reality is with this point, we don't want to be like too harsh with it, but if you are not getting inquiries, you're not reaching your ideal client, the biggest thing is you have to be showing up consistently. You have to be top of mind. You have to be consistent with your content. And I want to give you permission to, consistency doesn't ever necessarily mean like you have to be showing up like three times a day on Instagram or TikTok if that's just not sustainable. But if you can, show up every other day. Mm-hmm. Show up once a day. That would be amazing. Show up, you know, twice a week. Like you show up consistently on those 2 days a week because you have a full-time job. Just consistency. And then as it starts getting easier, the more you can show up, the better. I mean, realistically.
A really quick example. When I moved to Florida and I was trying to get more involved in the Florida market, I came from Kansas and before that I came from Hawaii. So like I didn't have any Florida brides or Florida past weddings. And so something that I immediately started doing when we moved here was I started using Florida specific wedding hashtags. And this is like basic and you might already know it, but like it genuinely works. Using Florida specific geotags and hashtags and then going on my site and naming every single freaking graphic and every single photo with very strategic like keywords to your general location that you're trying to get booked in. And now we have lots of past episodes on SEO, on like hashtags, on moving your business. Like we have a lot of
on
that.
On Instagram strategy, like so many things.
So many things. So go look at all those episodes, but genuinely like put your feet to the ground and start making that content regularly.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, number two is going to be, are you giving pro or beginner?
Are you giving pro or beginner? Okay, listen. This is, we love you.
We're giving tough love.
We're giving tough love.
We're not holding back. We're not trying to sugarcoat.
We're not here to hold your hand and be like, it's okay, sweetie. No, because that's not what you need. Well, if you're not getting booked.
Also, we're not going to tell you you're doing great.
When you're not.
If you clearly are sitting there knowing that I'm not doing something right. Yeah. I'm not doing great. We're going to tell it to you straight.
Okay, so, oh, this is so great. Okay.
This is where tough love Evie comes out.
Wait, did I have this in order? Oh,
yep,
yes.
You
okay.
Do.
So are you giving pro or beginner? So there's kind of two facets of this, specifically for photographers. And if you're not a photographer, apply this to your service or like the product that you're giving in your service.
For photographers, it's photos.
Right. So Wow, I can't.
Let me dive in here. Okay, so we're going to split this into one is your work, what you're actually delivering, the deliverable, I guess, to your clients. And the other is your presentation of your work.
Yeah.
Because there's almost...
like the forefront of your marketing.
Yeah, it almost kind of touches back into the marketing aspect that we were just talking about, but it's in how you're presenting it. Is it coming across as a pro
or beginner?
Or beginner.
Is it giving?
Is it
pro or beginner?
We can get on the Gen Z slang. We're hip.
Okay, so... let's take your work first, okay? So for photographers, this is your photos. I want you to be honest with yourself. And if you can be self-aware, I think you can. If you can be self-aware enough to be like, I could improve. If you look at your photos and you're not where you want to be, let's say it that way, then here are some ways to do it.
Wait, can I just jump in here really quick?
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know, I look at my work and I'm like, I could improve.
Lindsay,
like literally, that is not... a diss on your skill. That is not to say that you are not capable, that you cannot be an amazing photographer, that you are not an amazing photographer. That is to say that we should always be hungry for more growth, especially in our work,
100%.
Especially as photographers. And sometimes you just truly have to be like, is the reason I'm not getting booked because my work really needs some improvement?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
So some ways to help improve your work, study composition theory. Now, I think that's one of the biggest ones I see for beginner photographers. Yeah. And even when I look at my past work, I'm like, well, I was just pointing it in a direction and shooting.
as long as they were somewhere in frame, it was fine.
But study composition theory and just composition rules and when to break them. Mm-hmm. That is so, so good to really elevating your photos almost in a way that people can't even pinpoint it. They're just like, it's attracting my eye in some way. So there's that. Practice is the next one. Practice all things, but specifically practice your editing. I can't tell you the number of past students, past coaching students, and all people in my ecosystem that are like, how do I get better like at editing? I hate my editing style. I don't
Same
know.
Same with shooting.
What?
Same with shooting.
Yes.
Like the composition.
And it's like, they want like a hack to like shortcut it. At least I feel like that's what they want.
Because I've been there. I wanted a hack.
100%. Practice. Yeah. Practice is the best way. Like getting out and shooting in different lighting, practicing and editing and trying different presets, trying different just colors and lighting situations and editing all different lighting. Like the more you do it, the better you will get.
Yep.
It's one of those things that like it will come with practice and time, which 100%. Is not the thing that we want to hear, but it's true.
Yeah. I want to throw in there a couple of things. Free shoots are amazing when you're working on experimenting. I still do free shoots for the purpose of honing and refining and experimenting and practicing and doing it without the pressure of a paid client.
Yeah.
And self-portraits are an amazing way to experiment with new gear, with new presets, with new, you know, new lighting scenarios, new whatever. When I was starting and building my skill as a photographer, I shot probably 80% self-portraits as I was learning composition, as I was learning my settings, learning editing, because I could only convince and twist my brother's arm so much to get him out there or my best friend. So,
Well, and when you're doing those creative shoots or experimenting, feel free to like borrow other people's gear, borrow gear from like borrow lenses. I think is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Lens borrows?
Borrow lenses.
Lens borrows? What
there's
am
also,
I?
There's also, I will say, I love supporting small businesses. There's almost always like a small photography shop and camera store that you can rent gear from.
Locally.
Like, love borrow lenses. By all means, love them. But like, I grew up renting from a local camera shop with my gear and I love that. So.
Yeah, but. Like, don't think that, oh, just because I don't have this hot new lens, like, I can't try new things. Mm-hmm. Like, feel free to get out there and explore and borrow lenses and borrow all different kinds of gear and experiment with creative free shoots. Last one to improve your work specifically, invest in educations. So, workshops are a great one. We have some.
Also, I think I could be wrong. I think at the time of this recording, our workshop is actively happening. So, if you want to see...
If we continue... the order that we think that this is going out
yes.
in.
Yes. So I think
we're actively in New York right now.
We should be in New York right now.
Did we time travel?
So fun. But if you are curious, if you're not familiar with our workshops and how they're presented, and you're like, well, I kind of like these girls. I like their podcast. I'd like to see it. Come join us on stories and on our Instagram. This week, we are showing everything. So...
and we help you with bomb shoots and having
and
like
marketing.
In the field help on like settings
we
and all the things.
Composition. We teach.
We actually do. We teach composition and storytelling, all the things.
We
it's
teach
great.
All the marketing. We help you get into the nitty gritty of your
okay,
business.
But okay. There's education that you can invest in other than just workshops. I would suggest courses, guides. There's like posing guides out there. There's composition guides out there. There's styled content retreats that you can go to.
Content days.
Like there are so many ways that you can invest in education to
improve
help you
work.
Get that that practice, but a little bit faster.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so that is just the reality of really assess, could my work be the problem here? Is my work giving beginner or intermediate? Is it giving what I'm not wanting to give? Am I wanting to improve in this area? Yeah. Be brutally honest with yourself and then be willing to put in the work.
Yeah.
The next thing we're going to dive into is kind of the presentation or the marketing of your product, your service, your delivery. So I'm gonna make a couple people squirm here. Do you have a website? Because I know a lot of photographers in the first couple of years of business, which is totally fine. I think the first probably 6 to 12 months of my business did not have one. And then I very much DIY'd one. So just grace upon grace for you. But not having a website is definitely
immediately
a sign
screams
of a beginner.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And there you always start places. And I want to preface everything that we say in this whole episode. We don't want to be like, oh, you're failing because you are learning.
Right.
Absolutely not. The absolute opposite is our heart. But if you are like, I am struggling, I have to make this work, I have to get these bookings, I need this to, you know, to come through, we're being brutally honest of, hey, you might just want to throw up a website, even if it is not the perfect, absolute custom, completely perfect thing. That is one thing that usually does point to, hey, I'm just learning. I don't have a website yet. I'm not as legit as some of these other photographers out there.
Some specific examples of how that can read to a potential client as beginner is if you say like DM for inquiries on your Instagram. Mm-hmm. Again, if that's a short-term solution, get it, girl. Get it, boy. Like, that's okay. But work towards a website.
Yeah.
Or even if you have a website, but you don't have a custom domain and your website is clearly like, you know, yourname.pixieset.com. Try to get that domain. It's like $12 a year. Girl, you can do it.
Yeah.
Boy, it's mostly girls here.
Friend, you can do it.
Friend.
Okay, the next thing, which is also kind of along the lines of the presentation, specifically on like Instagram, like if you don't have a website and people are coming and they're like, well, where do I go to see more? Mm-hmm. Where do I see your prices? And it's not there, is your bio. Mm-hmm. Like your bio.
Which we have past episodes on how to benefit your bio specifically.
Yeah.
We can drop it in the
show notes. Your bio may be giving dating app. Like something like, loves Jesus, Ugg boots, and Stanley cups.
It's like, that's great for someone who wants to date you, but your couple does not give a rip.
Mm-hmm.
There's an element of branding that you want to connect, obviously, on, you know, like-minded things mm-hmm. and elements that make up your brand, but that isn't where you need to list them in a row like that on your bio.
Absolutely. So I think being very strategic and utilizing your bio to stand out and be very confident using phrases such as I serve blank couples or I tell X story or for couples who want these photographs. Like that kind of presentation immediately shows professional, experienced, like worth working with.
And you also tell your potential client exactly what you offer and exactly 100%. Therefore what you don't offer.
100%.
Which our bio episode literally breaks this down and I wish I had the number in front of me right now, but
we'll
I don't.
We'll put it in the show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay, the next thing that I kind of want to talk about gently, but also please listen to this. Are you using phrases or saying things as if you are inexperienced and just getting started?
Mm.
Which this kind of touches on a little bit of the fake it till you make it principle.
Yeah.
But
we faked it till we made it hard. This girl over here.
She's going to out me and I'm very proud of this. Go ahead.
When she first started her business, like imagine day one, Evie starts her business. Day two, she goes to Instagram. She goes to the section where she like names herself, right? Not her handle, but the name section. You know what I'm talking about. And she goes, adventurous elopement photographer. Girl had not shot an elopement in her dang life. Mm-hmm. Barely had shot weddings. Well, no, you'd shot weddings, but still.
But like, still.
Went on Elopement Love account and did a takeover for how to book elopements, had still never booked
to
an
be
elopement.
Fair, at that point, I had, I believe, shot a styled elopement that I set up.
So we're reaching, but you reach and
fake it till you make it. I know there's a lot of actual controversy, which maybe we should do an episode on like fake it till you make it, like good or bad.
Because it's lying. It's not lying.
A lot of people
curating.
Are like, it's not true. It's like inauthentic. That's, we can talk about that. But if you are coming on your social media and you are saying things like, oh, I'm just getting started, so don't, you know.
Or not even that obvious.
Yeah.
But things that scream that without screaming that.
Yeah. Of like, I didn't realize that I could buy a custom domain and you're posting that online.
On your business account.
Yeah.
And again, there is a time to be vulnerable and to be witty and to be funny even and relatable. But when it discounts your professionalism and
or
your ability to do the job that you want to be hired for?
I would almost say when it breaks down trust for your ideal client and it makes them feel like, I don't know if I can trust this person with my investment, with my photos, or it gives insecurity.
Yeah.
In the sense, there's a difference between showing up with humility and like, hey, here's like vulnerability. Here's some, you know, things that I have struggled with. But when it gives insecurity in your ability to deliver to your clients,
the thing that they're paying you for,
that's an extreme red flag to them that they're like, I don't know if I can trust this person with my investment. So that's brutally honest.
All right, entrepreneurs, let's face it. You're in a pickle. You're not attracting your ideal clients because your brand visuals are just meh at best, and you're not showing up as the professional ready to make their life 500 times better. Do you honestly feel like your website just sucks? Like your branding feels like you created it in Microsoft's Paint? Anyone else remember Microsoft's Paint? Is that just me? Okay. And your client experience just overall feels like it's seriously lacking, and you just need a change right now. But let's be honest, you're not ready to drop $8K on a custom web and brand design. Well, don't worry, that's where we come in.
Introducing the solution to all of your website struggles, the Heart Shop website templates. Now, we spent hours designing these customizable, professional, and conversion-intense website templates with our incredible designer, Sarah Crook of Elizabeth Designs. They are so incredibly easy to use and customize with Showit's user-friendly interface. Yes, by the way, you can easily learn how to work with Showit, even if you've never touched a website or any design platform before. And you can change literally anything you want. No more being limited to squares on your website. It's a drag and drop system that is freaking easy and looks incredible. Oh, you want more information? Cool, I got you. The templates come already SEO optimized with copy prompts from Lindsay and I included. Yeah, you don't just get nonsensical filler text. You get bomb education and prompts from Lindsay and I to help you wow your potential clients and crush your website copy. And we designed a variety of these in different styles so you can find the closest match and then tweak it to make it fully your own.
If you're ready to save thousands of dollars and hours upon hours upon hours of your time and get clients flooding through your website, you need to check these out. So grab yours at theheartuniversity.com/website-templates. One more time, that's theheartuniversity.com/website-templates.
If you are loving what you're hearing on today's episode, then we wanted to share something else you might love, The Heart Shop. It's our digital resource online shop for creative entrepreneurs. The Heart Shop is your one-stop shop for all of our online courses, luxury website templates, PDF guides, social media graphic templates, and illustrations.
If you've been at your wit's end with your website design and you don't know where the heck to create a high-quality pricing or welcome guide to give your clients an incredible branded first impression, ooh, we got you. We created the Heart Shop to serve you with the best tools and resources you need to successfully run your business. Just head to theheartuniversity.com/shop and start browsing the goods. That's theheartuniversity.com/shop, and we'll see you there.
The next thing on the presentation and forward marketing is
niche down.
Niche down. So one of the biggest things that I see when I go to an Instagram account that I can immediately tell if someone's more beginner or more pro is if they have a bajillion different types of photos on their account. Mm-hmm. Like, so we're talking newborn, we're talking family, we're talking baby, we're talking, that's the same thing as newborn. We're talking like bar mitzvahs, we're talking wedding, we're talking family. Did I say that? We're talking maternity. If you are the kind of person, I say this with love, that has everything on your account, lovingly choose one and then only post that.
I will say when you're in the beginning, There is definitely, you are trying to figure out which is the best one for you.
And that is the place to do it all, but try to choose quickly.
Yes. Try to figure out.
Or in the back's end, still do
be
it all.
Still be booking, but do not market that. If you were trying, you're like, I'm going to really want to shoot families, but all these wedding couples still booking me. I feel like that's not most common. I feel like most common is I really want to book weddings, but all I'm getting are families and, you know,
because they're lower price or point, seniors, or more connecting in the community probably.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't want to keep shooting this, but you keep posting it. Sister, brother, no. Like, that's what we're talking about of like, if you're wanting to get more bookings, niche down, get very specific, and then consistently showcase that.
Think about the bride that you want to book. When she comes to your Instagram profile and she sees babies all over,
That's not the season of life she's in. Mm-hmm. She wants an expert that's going to walk by her and give her like a solid presence mm-hmm. and serve her an like a dang experience. Photographer on her wedding day. Yep. She doesn't need someone who knows how to pose a newborn.
Yep.
That's not where she's at right now. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously she's not actively thinking about this, but subconsciously that's what our brains do when we're looking for an expert.
Yep.
So
because we're not attracted to jacks of all trade.
Right.
Like
no one likes the Golden Corral. I mean,
some people probably do.
No.
But not here in our little circle of community. We love the very niche, the very specialized, the very, you know, expert, experienced, delicious, like wonderful curated Michelin star restaurants. Like those are like, oh my gosh, this is worth going to because they are known for being good and specialized in one thing. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I want to say is we do have a niching episode, episode 108. So if you do want more information on this, go back and listen to that. People are just wanting someone that they know that they can trust, who knows what they're doing in one area. So if you have not niched down yet and you're really, nobody's coming, you're not reaching the right clients, you cannot get in front of the people that you want to book, niche the frick down now.
All right. The last little element of are you giving pro or beginner when it comes to that forward-facing marketing is, are you showing up with your face and building connection
Ooh.
On your website, on your social, everywhere? A lot of photographers, because we're behind the camera, we love to hide behind mm-hmm. the camera, but people are hiring you for one of the most important events of their life or very special treasured memories in their life.
Yep.
And because it's such a personal thing, you have to show up with your face. Like you have to make that connection. That doesn't mean you have to be like an extroverted basket case.
Like us.
But you do need to show who you are and what you look like because that builds connection. So
I want to give the example. When I go, and this is not to be like absolutely like hypercritical and I'm sitting there being like, oh my gosh, like God forbid you actually like start somewhere. Like not at all. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you right now that when I go to an Instagram account and I see a beginner and a pro immediately separate to me because the pros have a profile picture of themselves. Mm-hmm. They have a pinned intro post or personal photo and content within like the grid of nine. Like I can find them in their feed.
Yeah. If you go to someone's account and you can't find them.
Beginner.
Yeah.
Or I mean, there's exceptions to that, but within this like service industry, like
or they're very, very popular and very introverted and they don't need no picture. I'm thinking of Annie Graham.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, but if you're Annie Graham, she's on her feed. You can ignore this.
I feel like she's on her feed though.
She probably is a little bit, but that's like an example yes. of somebody who is less so.
And I will say on a pro professional like Instagram page, I'm seeing them show up in their stories and show their faces in stories as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas a beginner, their profile picture is often a logo. I'm sorry, I'm going to step on toes here, but the profile picture is often a logo.
Point the camera in your direction.
For once.
Just once.
Turn the settings, hand it to your husband, your second shooter, your cousin,
your
mom.
Get some good lighting. Get a tripod if the husband is not available
Absolutely.
Or your sister or brother or whoever mm-hmm. and take that photo.
And post it
and
as your profile
And get rid of that
picture.
Logo. Don't get rid of your logo in general, but on your profile picture, please.
100%. I can't find, on a beginner's page, I can't find a photo of them anywhere. And I will tell you, I look for...
Hard.
For like coaching students, like I want to see their face before yep. I like have a session yep. with them. Or for workshop attendees, like I will go through some of our
Well, okay, let's get real here. Mm-hmm. We stalk our workshop attendees before our workshops and we memorize their names. I think we've shared that before, but we don't actually like verbalize it that much because you don't need to know that.
We want to get to know them.
We want to know who is walking yeah. in. And there's times when we go to like we'll have their Instagram and I can't for the love find a photo yeah. to match like the name to the face. So I have no idea what this person looks like.
Yeah. And then we'll usually go stalk your Facebook. So just so you know. Anyways, that's a differentiating factor. And then usually like there's no active stories on a beginner's Instagram or it's like a repost of something else or maybe just like a haphazard like photo of their dog mm-hmm. on their story. Which again, there's nothing wrong with showing a photo of your dog on your stories. It's just, are you showing up on your stories?
Yeah.
So I feel like that was a lot of very, very
tough
love. That
was a lot. And guys, we're still on problem number one. Just to review, if you need reviewing, problem number one was you're not reaching or marketing well to your ideal client. So this is you're not even getting inquiries. And we're still here because we have a lot to say about marketing.
Okay, so what we're going to do next is we're going to walk you through number three of like you're not reaching your ideal clients. We're just going to like... Anyways, we are just going to drop a bunch of bootstrapping tips
basically, like, if you're in the season where you're like, I'm trying to get in front of the right people, I'm trying to get bookings, we're going to give you some help of, like, here's some, like, I don't want to say shortcuts, but, like, here's
things
some
to kickstart
scrappy ways to get the ball moving.
All right. So the first one is to join a ton of Facebook groups and consistently stalk them every day and respond to people that are wanting referrals, clients looking for vendors, or et cetera. Like, just get in either like local Facebook groups or like vendor, wedding vendor Facebook groups, whatever, you know, circle of sphere that you're trying to connect with or get booked in, join those.
One thing I will say too is if it's actually the client themselves asking for someone, private message that client themselves as well as post on the main group.
Because everybody is going to just post mostly.
Everyone's going to just respond to that post and be in the comments.
And bonus, if you can private message them and send a video.
Yep, 100%.
Bonus points.
Same brain. Okay, the next thing is, and I think we talked about this earlier, maybe not, I don't know. All the episodes are rolling together in my head at this point. Do a bunch of free or styled shoots to showcase. Yeah, we talked about this in improving your work. Anyways, to showcase your consistency, your work ethic, even if you have absolutely zero bookings on your books, I don't ever want you to actually showcase that.
Or say that.
Or say that.
Or say something that indicates that.
Yes. Like, get out there, do free sessions, do styled shoots, like, get the ball rolling. I can't tell you, that literally kickstarted my business. Mm-hmm. Like, I was, I was getting some bookings. I was second shooting with a wedding photographer, but I was also out there hustling my absolute booty off.
Yep.
Working for free and styled shoots.
When I first started, like, I think in 2015, like, a few months into business and I was in Kansas and I knew I wanted to be an adventurous destination wedding photographer. I remember I was like, I need portfolio outside of Kansas just to showcase the fact that I'm traveling.
Yeah.
I remember a girl followed me at the time and she just got engaged and she lived in Baltimore. And she was like, oh, I really would love to have you do our photos, but I don't think I could afford your fee and like fly you out. And again, this is a personal choice, but because at the time I wanted adventurous, that's not really adventures, but
travel.
I wanted destination travel work and to showcase on my stories. Actually, were stories a thing in 2015? Wow, 2015?
Mm-mm.
No, but regardless, like posting and like, I wanted to showcase that I was traveling. And so I said, I will do it just for the travel fees. That's it.
Love
and so
it.
Again, that was like literally like month one of being in business.
Yep.
I did that. I went to Big Bend. Like, so get out and do whatever you got to do to showcase what you want to be booked for.
100%. The next thing is to connect with wedding vendors. So offer more than you're asking from them always. Can you take free headshots or photos for florists or hair and makeup artists or venues or DJs or whatever? Can you reach out and offer to include people on your referral list or your top vendor recommendation list without asking for anything in return? Do you want to reach out to people and be like, hey, I know how crazy this wedding season is. I just want like to send you coffee on me. And someday I would actually love to get together and just treat you to coffee on me again. I would love to connect. I'm trying to build relationships with people in this area.
Yeah.
Like, serve and offer and give value before you ever ask for anything in return. But vendor connections can be absolutely huge.
Some other things, just you might have thought about this, but make connections in coffee shops and ask if they have a board where you could put up flyers. I mean, that's like very scrappy word of mouth, like in-person marketing, but it can work. Or go sign up for wedding vendor fairs. Those can make great connections, not only with couples, but other vendors in your local town and area. Those are really great. Another thing that you can do is offer secret discounts. Evie has a really great story about this.
Well, yeah, this was kind of similar to like what your Baltimore story, but like in the beginning of my like real startup and like hustle and bootstrap season of my photography, I was like, okay, same thing. I want to be traveling. I want to get out of Ohio. I want to do other work. And I had gone to a ministry school in Northern California. And so I had friends out there and all this stuff. And I was like, you know what? I am going to fly back to Northern California. I'm going to like sleep on a friend's couch in their apartment. I'm going to pay for that flight myself.
Yeah.
But, and I'm pay for a rental car, you know, whatnot. I'm going to bootstrap this. And I am going to like, while I'm there, be like, hey, I'm coming back to Reading. I have space for one more session. And I was like doing a freestyle shoot while I was there. Like that was the only thing that I had booked, but I was like, I have space for one more session. And a friend would reach out or like somebody that I knew or a friend of a friend would be like, oh my gosh, that'd be so great. Let me know your rates. And I'd like send them info and be like, okay, so normally my couple sessions are 300, which was true at the time. I was like, or somewhere around that range. And I was like, but for you, since I'm already going to be there, I would love to do it for 150. And that, like, I didn't want to publicize that I was, like, offering all of this for discounted. And, like, I didn't want people to think that I was, like, not getting bookings and that I was desperate and that I was cutting my prices in half. But for the people who were really interested, I was like, here, let me like serve you. Let me, it would be a blessing. I'm already going to be there. There's no travel fees since I'll already be in the area on my own dime, but I'm going to like, I'm going to help you and here's a discount for you. So that's a great way. If you don't want it to be like this whole public thing of like, today only, half off, which can look sometimes a little desperate.
Yeah.
If you do it a little more secretly, oftentimes it completely eliminates that like desperation attempt and it actually showcases like value and service, in my opinion.
Whew.
All right.
All right, guys.
Turn the page.
Turn the page if you're on YouTube. You're... Okay, no. So we just covered problem number one, which was I'm not even getting inquiries in at all. So we just dumped so much at you that I hope will help just kick a fire under your butt to be like, wow, I have so much to do now. That's awesome. But camp number two, maybe you are dealing with the problem of people know that you exist and you are getting inquiries.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot, maybe a little. Regardless, they are not converting into bookings. You're getting ghosted. You are sending proposals and they're not, they're just forever never booking you or they're never responding. That's ghosted. Or they're just straight up saying no. Like, I can't afford you or you, yeah, for whatever reason, they're saying no. If that's you, listen up. We got some goods for you.
So these are the two areas that you really may want to assess and or revamp. So let's dive into that. Mm-hmm. Number one is pricing. We're gonna go there. We have episodes on pricing in the past. So feel free to go and dive into the back catalog on that. We'll put a couple in the show notes. But pricing. The first thing I really think when it comes to this is there is like an incongruous value to price point. Mm-hmm. Like, does the quality of your service and or work match the price point that you're at? Either your work is way better and you're way undercharging.
Yeah.
Or maybe your work is not really where it needs to be. You've been really self, you know, aware and honest with yourself. And you're maybe trying to charge a little bit too much. And people just aren't willing to take that risk because they don't see the value there.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there could be a situation where if your work is incredible, which again, this is all subjective. But like in general, if your work is bomb and your prices are low, like Evie just said, like people could almost look at that and be like, am I getting scammed? Like that seems like too picture perfect of a deal. Yeah. Like, where's the boot going to drop or shoe?
Where does the other shoe
drop? Where is the other shoe going to drop on me? Because I can't trust this because it feels too perfect to be true. Mm-hmm. Or like she said, maybe your work isn't that good. And that, again, is subjective a little bit, but maybe your work and your, what's it called? The presentation of it isn't getting in their eyes and isn't communicating your value. And so to the client's eyes, it looks like you're way charging what doesn't seem like that good of an offer. Mm-hmm. It could be really good or it could be...
You're just not communicating
well. Yeah, you're just not communicating well.
Which we'll kind of get into.
Or your work could improve, which obviously we gave you tips for that in the future. Yeah. Or not in the future, in the past.
I think the next thing under pricing is... And obviously, we're not going into pricing like, here's what you should price yourself, like that kind of nitty-gritty strategy, because we've covered that in past episodes. But your pricing could be just misaligning with your work and your value. That's a huge thing. The other thing that I have noticed is huge in this industry is when you're like, oh, I'm getting all these inquiries, but then they're just ghosting me. Number one question in my mind, is your prices on your website?
Yep.
Because, friend, if they are not, I can immediately tell you that is a huge reason why. People are inquiring because they're like, oh, I really like this person. I like their work. I'd really love to know, you know, if it's possible to work together. And then your prices come back and either they're hitting way higher than they thought, way lower than they thought. Again, those two reactions can be there, but they're inquiring because they don't know.
Yeah.
They have no gauge. You have to have, I kind of want to throw this in there too. And I've ranted on this on my stories on Instagram multiple times, but you also, this might be a reason that you're not getting inquiries, because I can tell you from firsthand experience, if I'm looking for a vendor and I do not see their prices on their website, I'm gone.
Yep.
You are not wasting my time. You're not getting me on a consult call. You are not trying to sell me on something. I need to know the range that you're in before I ever inquire.
Lastly, with price, there could be something called a pricing black hole, which is kind of like a range of price where you might be a little bit too expensive for the price shoppers, but you're too low for the people that are kind of more booking like a luxury wedding and they're really wanting
budget.
Yeah, the next tier of budget.
Because it's not even sometimes luxury. There can be pricing black holes in
everything. Or in every stage of life. And so many people, when we say this, are like, oh, perfect. Lindsay, Evie, give me the exact dollar amounts and I will avoid that. We can't. Because it's so different.
It depends so much on the industry, on the type of work, on the location, on the clients you're reaching. Like, there's so many factors. But what I would encourage, if you do think there's a chance that you're like, well, I was lower before and people were like, it was incongruous. Like there was a disconnect between like the value and, you know, whatnot. But I raised them a good bit and now people are saying I'm way too expensive. There's a couple things here. One, experiment up and down. There is absolutely no shame in like, okay, for the next inquiry that comes in, I'm going to send them a bit higher. The inquiry after that, I'm going to send them a bit lower. And I'm going to see if one of them, like A-B testing, I'm going to see which one books or what they say to that. The other thing that I want to say to that is I totally lost my train of thought. There was something in this.
The other thing you want to say to the pricing black hole.
It was in relation to...
To the you can't say a number? Like you can't give a number of the pricing black hole?
No, I totally lost it. It was great.
Okay, well, we'll come back to it.
Okay, if I'm... You continue. I'm going to try to think.
Okay, perfect. Well, the next thing after pricing is client communication and experience, because this is the bulk of...
Oh, I remember.
Oh, just kidding. Okay. She's back.
I was like, it was really good. Okay. In the situation where maybe you just did increase your pricing, I tell this to my coaching students a lot. You may just be in that uncomfortable, like growing pains place where you're leaving an old ideal client or customer behind.
Yeah.
And you're going from people who are more budget hunter. They want the $1,500 wedding. And you just jumped up to the $25,000 or $3,000 wedding.
And you got to like do back end work to get your processes and even your front presentation matching.
Yes. And even if maybe you have hit that, like you are, you know, everything matches, you're marketing it well, but you've had these people in your ecosystem who have been used to the budget price. And so now they're inquiring and they're like, oh, well, you're too expensive.
Right.
That doesn't actually mean you're too expensive. That just means sometimes you have to filter through and get those people out of your ecosystem or like, you know, out of your inbox.
Turn a ship immediately to the left. It has to do a slow, gradual turn.
You're just going to have people, even if you like jumped from $1,500 to $3,000 because you realized you were severely undercharging for several years, there's still going to be some of your original like clients who are inquiring who are like, wow, you're way too expensive. Doesn't actually mean that. So I just wanted to throw that in there too with the pricing black hole. You might not be in a black hole. You might just be filtering out the previous clients.
All right. My babysitter leaves in 5 minutes. Let's go.
Buckle up, the next point.
Buckle up, we're gonna go. Okay. So we just covered pricing. Now, like I said before, Evie interrupted with her thought.
So sorry.
She forgot. No, it's fine.
So sorry.
We're gonna tackle client experience and communication because I think this, especially in that communication era, right before they book, that's not really an era. That's just the season of communication.
A phase,
thank you. There's so much that can go right or wrong in this. And there's so many factors that dictate whether someone continues with you and goes to book you or not.
Yep.
So the first one is your initial email inquiry response. Make sure we have an episode again. I feel like we've done so many past episodes. We have a lot of episodes on this specific email and how detailed and incredible it needs to be, but it needs to be detailed. It needs to be personal and it needs to be thorough.
Yeah.
If you are starting that first email with like, thank you so much for inquiring. I'm so honored that you're engaged and that you're considering me as your wedding
photographer for that date. And
I would love to get on a consult call. Here's my pricing guide. Can't wait to chat.
God forbid you don't send the pricing guide.
And you just write like Google Drive.
Type them in the email, which to be fair is where both of us started. So again, we're not trying to say like you can't start somewhere. We are just trying to say if you are sitting here listening to this episode being like, I want next, I want more, I want growth, I want bookings. We're being straight with you.
Yeah.
That's not going to get you very far. That's a temporary solution. You need a pricing guide, which actually, ironically,
we have in our shop.
Oh, I was also going to say it's the next point. But the subtle plug works too.
I'm just saying they can be tweaked on Canva and they're dope. So
100%.
Just saying. But and make sure that whether you use ours or somebody else's, you could find some on Creative Market. See, I'm giving you resources to find them elsewhere. I'm not just boldly saying
to be fair, though, I think both of us use our own pricing guides, don't we?
We do. So our big flex.
Big flex. We love them. We stand by them.
But include professional detailed investment guides in your email. Like a single one, not whatever. You get it. In your email with reviews, with your pricing, with example photos,
FAQs.
Like past work. And make sure those photos are the absolute best of the best that you got. Like, I want to see the absolute creme de la creme.
Present what you want to shoot more of.
Yeah. Next, with client experience and communication, specifically before they book, is stop making the process of understanding what you offer and how to book you way too freaking complicated. Mm-hmm. People do this on their Instagram, they do this on their website, and they especially do this in email. If we make the process so convoluted, especially on their websites with like design, we all love a good design, but mm-hmm. like if it's complicated and it's not all directing to one central place, which is, hey, book me, fill out this form. Like, here's what I do and how I serve you. People make it so complicated and people will book. People don't want to waste their time. Just like Evie said, if she mm-hmm. like sees a website and it doesn't even have starting prices, she's out. She's not going to waste her time.
100%.
So people will do the same thing. Time yeah. is valuable to people. And they want to spend it preciously. And so if they're searching yeah. for a service, they want to make sure that you have as much information and they can understand easily what you do and how the process will look like to work with you before they even reach out. 100%. Because when we reach out and then we have to wait on you and then it's confusing, I'm out. Make mm-hmm. it easy for me. And then yep. I will consider booking you.
100%. So how can you make it easy? Let's dive in. Is your site navigation very easy to understand? Is it easy to read? Does it direct people where to book? Is it just super concise and consolidated? If not, change it now. Are you responding to emails as quickly as possible? Now, granted, we don't want to be like, hustle, 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 burn yourself out.
There's grace.
But at the same time, if you can, especially to initial inquiries, if you can respond within a day, usually with inquiries, there's a whole thing on this, and I think we've probably covered this in another episode, but usually with inquiries, your clients are going to book the person that they connect with first. Mm-hmm. And especially when it comes to wedding clients, they are inquiring with at least a few other photographers yeah. 9 times out of 10. And if you are taking 3 to 4 to 5 to a week to whatever, God forbid, days to get back to them, they've probably already connected with, gotten on a call with, and can like wanting to move forward with another photographer. So you sometimes speed is the name of the game in some of this.
Something else is make sure that you make it as easy as possible in that initial email to hop on a call with you. If mm-hmm. that's your next step, which for a wedding photographer, that's usually what it is.
Yeah.
And so make sure, I used to do this, bad, don't do this. I would be like, I would love to hop on a call. Let me know what time that you're available. What if they give me a time and then I'm not available? We have to do so many freaking back and forth.
Even I feel like I started there, but then I would be like, hi, I'm available like between X and X tomorrow and X and X.
Almost like a step up.
Yeah, it was like a step up. But even still,
there still could be, that could still not work for them at all.
Absolutely.
So there could still be back and forths. Like it's so much more professional and you can integrate it with your Google Calendar just to send a Calendly link and be mm-hmm. like, I would love to set up a call. Here's my Calendly link. You yep. can do it. And it makes it literally, they don't even have to respond to the email in theory to just sign up for a consult yep. call. And again, you're lessening friction and you're making the process so easy to, yep. you know, interact with and to actually be able to book you.
And then I think the last thing when it comes to like making it easy is video messaging. When you get an inquiry via like a DM or something where you're like, hey, realistically, I would actually like that to go through my email or, you know, whatever, hop on a video and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for reaching out. So here's a little bit of insight. I actually like, I'm not the best with my DMs, you know, or whatever it is. Be like, yeah. I would love to connect with you. Send over your email to me and I will send you my pricing and investment yeah. guide. Like make it as easy again as possible. I know it's easy to be like, here's my link, go fill out the inquiry form. But even easier is be like, send me your email address. I will do the work for you.
Yeah.
Which I know you might want them to go through the booking form so that they have to fill out all the information and like you get the full scope of what they're wanting.
Yep.
But if you're like bootstrapping it.
Also, bonus tip with video. That's a great tip for like if you get a social media inquiry. Mm-hmm. But even if people inquire on your website yep. and they fill out the form. Make sure that there's two things that you can do. You don't have to do this, but it's like a next level thing. If you have like a pop-up video that's on your booking page, that's like, oh, hey, click here. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you introducing yourself and being like, hey, I would love to work with you. My name's Lindsay. This is a little bit about me and my process. Mm-hmm. And again, this is like, I'm talking like a minute long video, like not something super long, but it's almost like, I'm so excited to get to know you.
Yeah.
That's something. Or you could do that same concept on fill out your form, have it redirect to a page on your website with a video that's basically thanking them for inquiring, yep. setting those expectations of when you can when they can expect to respond yep. and making sure that you've already just blown their minds mm-hmm. because one, you're communicating quickly and efficiently, but mm-hmm. also you're making that connection, which with photography yep. or any service, honestly, is so huge. So yep. tip.
Okay. Deep breath.
Do you hear my children in the background?
Because real life.
The babysitter, we're 2 minutes over. We did it though. We made it to the end.
Okay. To recap.
Wow.
You might be in one of two camps. You might be not getting any inquiries. That's work on your forward-facing marketing. Consistently show up, assess, am I giving pro or beginner in my work and in my presentation of my work? The next thing, bootstrap it.
Yeah.
Bootstrap the heck out of it. Finally, you might be in the second, I love that I'm like aggressively turning pages. The next thing is, you might be in the camp where you are getting the inquiries, but they're not converting. They're not booking. We want you to assess and revamp your pricing. Are you in the right pricing bracket for what you need to be doing? And that is usually a very personal thing. Go listen to our episodes on pricing. We're going to break it down even more for you there. But also, do you have them on your website? Are you in a black hole? Are you presenting the value and communicating it really well? Which leads perfectly into number two, for if you're getting inquiries but not booking, client experience and communication. You have to make it as high level, as luxury, as detailed, as thorough, as serving focused as possible, and make it as easy as possible for them to understand. So with that being said, we're going to go back really quick. The economy is a factor. Absolutely. But there are 2.2 million weddings in the U.S. Well, in the U.S. or in the world today? In 2024.
So for maybe, our destination, worldwide.
For our destination, people, those still apply to you. But the point is, there are still weddings happening and there are still relatively large budgets for weddings right now. The average is $33,000. Yeah. So we don't want the economy to be the only excuse and you're like, oh, it's just the economy. I can't do anything. Because reality is, there's true. Probably a lot of stuff that you could work on the back end. And when the economy is a little bit lower, people are looking for a wise investment. They're looking to not waste their money. They are looking for the person that is going to serve them and deliver on what they are wanting. So friend, go back, bring out a pen and paper, re-listen to this episode. Go listen to our other episodes on niching down, on pricing strategy, on Instagram marketing strategy, on website strategy. We have such a back catalog of things for you to work on. If you are in this position where you are not getting bookings, this, friend, is your time to dig in with your shovel and go to work.
Whew, all right. We just gave you a lot. We wanted to pack as much physical value into this episode as possible mm-hmm. to really help you if you are struggling right now in this economy, but also if you're just not getting bookings at all. We hope that this just gave you the rock solid foundation to mm-hmm. get started tackling those problems. Yes. We are here with you, cheering you on, and we cannot wait to see you on the next episode. In the meantime, leave us a 5-star review if you really just like got so much out of this, which I really hope you did. We would love you forever if you did that. And come join our community on the Heart and Hustle Facebook group. The link is in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And come follow us on Instagram at The Heart University. Yeah. We love hanging out. And like she said, right now we are at our New York workshop.
Yeah.
And you can see all the juice and all the fun, all the juice, like the juicy, you get it. And come hang out.
Come
and
join the
see
party
what it's
virtually.
Like coming to a workshop with us and where you can get even more value. So,
all right, friend, we love you and we will see you on the next episode.